Hey, you better believe it. After a lot of kerfuffle, we're here, we're on, and we don't need this music, and I'm not sure we need the next bit. I'm not sure we need that. I honestly, the troubles I've had trying to put together a 20-minute doodah into a 15-minute slot. Tried it yesterday. It was too fuzzy. It was just like playing in a howling, growling wind. And trying it today, and I've just got this 1 second delay. Note to self: don't turn off mic until all mic stuff stops. Okay, good. All right, then we're not going to have an intro because we had that last week to this week's and next week's and probably the week's afters. So you can store that intro in your belly button if you like. We're just going to crack on with Towels from the Dark Side. The scene. Causeway Heights, Crimea, 1854. High on a plain in a valley of death stood 600 horsemen, reeking of an apocalyptic discourse so foul that it could barely be justified as nothing other than apocryphal. The venture, so riddled by crisscross confusion induced from timidity, tenaciousness, tartness, and tactfully ill-conceived attainments of engagement issued by orders which stemmed from such imprecision as to warrant bamboozlement. Fool is Lord Raglan's Batman and the official war correspondent. He's perched on a hillock aside his lord, watching the charge of the Light Brigade unfold and unfold. By Jove! Would that be in reference to Jupiter, sir? As in, by Jupiter, because you know how our language is changing so fast these days, sir. Things get muddled and lost and transformed, and before you know it, we'll all be speaking Russian. I was saying to Marjorie just the other day, you know Marjorie, my wife, Marjorie, I was just saying to her, and then... A handgun rings out. All right, we'll have some of that, no? Yeah, what about some of this? With a cough. Yeah. Yes, Jove. Yes, by Jove. Anyway, got it, sir. Yes. As Fool has taken one to the head and topples from his horse. Aye, and so, Causeway Heights' foolhardiness rattled through the ranks of military penship forevermore, thanks to Fool's blunder. He went on to recover from his head wound, and lived on to be a stoutly 18-stone cross-dresser, with enough hair to get seriously mauled in a badger hunt just south of Mrs. Dufresne's Mount. It's always tease, tease, tease. You're happy when I'm on my knees. One day is fine and next is black. So if you want me off your back, well come on and let me know. Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go now? Right. Absolutely. You know the score. You know it is. Should we play this or should we not? No, we're not, because we haven't got time. And I think I'm going to make it from 25 to 20 to 15 minutes. So we've got to be even quicker. I can tell you about, of course, the classic Clash track, Should I Stay or Should I Go, which many a bard I must add, has speculated as to the meaning of these lyrics from The Clash, presuming it was the culmination of the long-term feuding between Mick Jones and Eli Foley. Elon was his name, if you're wondering where Eli comes from. Where does it? The Good, the Bad and the Ugly. They've got an Eli. Anyway, he was one of the singers in The Clash, in case you didn't know, and he had a bit of a hoo-ha with Mick, in case you didn't know. Look, let's hear what Mick had to say about it. Split. He just said split. Well, he didn't. He said it wasn't about anybody specific. It wasn't preempting my leaving The Clash. It was just a good rock and roll song, man. Our attempt at writing a classic. That's hard, isn't it? You think you're going to go out and write a classic. Anyway, when we were just playing, that was the kind of thing we used to like to play. So, yeah, just rock and roll, man. Meanwhile, I'll tell you what, though. This is interesting. The Spanish in the background, courtesy of Joe Strummer, that was. Or his mum, I think, more to the point. On the spur of the moment, he said, I thought, you know, let's do a bit of Spanish backing vocals in the background, because that's where they go. And they needed a translator, so Eddie Garcia, the tape operator, he called his mum, it was his mum, in Brooklyn Heights, near Causeway, and read her the lyrics over the phone, and she translated them. But Eddie and his mum are Ecuadorian, so it's Ecuadorian Spanish. Brilliant, isn't it? And that's me and Joe and Eli are singing in the backing vehicles, which I think is just awesome. Have we run out of tune? I don't know. I'm blubbering on like a blubbering idiot. I think we have. Oh, yeah, there we go, yeah. You know what I wanted here? We're going to go into some animal news. And I can't find, for the life of me, Malaika's soundbite. So we won't bother. I'll just tell you about the albatross that crushed itself into the nose of a plane in a dangerous mid-air collision. Yeah, embedded itself in the cracked nose of a plane. Japanese Coast Guard aircraft, to be precise. A 3-foot crater was left, nonetheless, in this Japanese Coast Guard aircraft. That's about the whole crux of the story, really, except for, you know, it's, you know, the plane carried on flying. The captain thought no need to land here, we're okay, it's just a great big massive albatross on our nose. We'll just land in the normal destination, which we always do, which is in Ishigaki, Okinawa. Which was nice. This is nice. This is brilliant. The jellyfish, Turritopsis nutricula, to be exact name for it. It's been dubbed the immortal, as it never dies. Yeah, after adult life, the 5mm thing starts to become young again. What's that film with that bloke? Yeah, you know the one I'm talking about. I can't think of it. I can't think of even the film or the bloke. Anyway, how does it become yum again? Or the thing, the 5mm, sex, of course. That's what it's all about. The fish emerged from the Caribbean. Has since spread itself throughout the world and is causing a bit of a disruptive balance, shall we say. I bet all the fish want it. All the fish want to be it. All the fish want to see it. All the fish want to... Dr. Maria Miglietta from the Smithsonian Tropical Research Institution, Panama. Brilliant. Want to work there. She said, we're looking at a worldwide silent invasion. Tell you what, we wouldn't be invading Archippy anytime soon. I'll tell you for why, because Archippy is, well, it's got the weirdest opening hours. It's nice, it's okay, it's really reasonably priced, I must say that. And but just like, you wouldn't catch it at the weekend. What you think you get the chippy at the weekend? It's not open, mate. Yeah, it's open at about, I don't know, sort of like between 2 and 2:15. On a Tuesday. I think that's it. But I think it does jellyfish though, which is nice. Right then, what's going on now? Do we want to talk about Alexander Kirillov? from Moscow, who had his old chap bitten off by a raccoon while he was trying to get acquainted with said raccoon. Well, after he'd had a few, and his mates found what was left, took it to the doctors and sewed it back on. So you need mates like that. Do we need to talk about that? I don't think so. But when you got mates like that, it's nice. You know you got your boys, you're backing you. Your boys are back in town. It's just some cheap excuse to play a bit of tin. I don't know, is it the raccoon and the jellyfish? At number one in Ireland, 1976. Ah, the year of the drought. And we're in Leidenhausen, I believe. As a neighbour, went there and came back with Leidenhausen. Oh, how we hung around in 1976 in a pair of leather Leidenhausen. Anyway, it made only number 8 in the UK, number 12 in the US. It's from the album Jailbreak, which had some brilliant B-sides. I say brilliant because the official B-sides were two, which is like B&C really. I don't know how that happens. Triangular Records, but Emerald and Sarah. Copy you bought, which is fantastic because both tracks are absolutely brilliant. It was reissued in 91 and managed a measly number 63 in the UK charts. I don't even know what charts are. Do we even have charts these days? No one takes any notice, no one cares, but we do care. It featured extra tracks, specifically Johnny the Fox meets Jimmy the Weed and Black Boys on the Corner, plus a live version of Me and the Boys, as in the boys are back in town. Bit of Ireland, yeah, obviously. It's from Bolton, isn't he? I think Phil Lynott, however you want to say it. Familiar with his time. It's supposed to be the Toys are back in town because he was in a gang, wasn't he? Of the Toy Soldiers? Or was it something to do with the soldiers coming home from war? The boys are back in town, but also the Tin Soldiers, which was a gang that roamed around Bolton talking all funny. Probably stuffing things down their trousers. I don't know what people in Bolton do, wear a flat cap. So it's like sometimes he might on stage say the Toys are back in town. Hello, is there a toy down your trousers? Oh, what blood? You better believe it. Oh, it's a chimney. That's what that is. I think that's probably enough of this nonsense. Don't forget, if you fancy a bit of dude talk, get in touch with us, me personally, and I'll tell you what's going on. I'll tell you. All right, if you want it, do you know what I might do? And this is a thought. Radio Primco, home of Dude Talk. I think I put a page on there. Then, if you don't do Facebook, well, you can do what you want. All right, Dude Talk is happening. It's a walk talk support group. It's lovely. We're going to play out with Boys Are Back in Town. Tin Lizzy, keep it turning, keep it real, keep it RadioPrimco.com. Ta-da.
In a tweed suit, 5.5 seconds to fall from the top of Big Ben to the ground. Now, there's not many people know that.
RadioPrimco.com.